you to do that little step outside of your conditioned nature into the realm of bhakti. Later it became so much, mail came, always letters. I remember I had to slice open the letters that I just couldn't keep up any longer. Then I got a little Sony tape recorder and I dictated my answers while I was driving, or I myself cannot drive, but while I was being driven between preaching engagements. And then I would give the tape to my various secretaries. There was Gaura Bhavini, I remember, Nadia Biharini was there. I only know her by the name she likes to be called now, Natasha. And there were, and then the famous Saranandi came. She had been in Gadadhar's place in Schönau. This is a little, they call it Burg Schönau, just on the bank of the river Elbe. A beautiful historic place for many of you. It's here where Tushta Krishna and Mangala came and we met first, and many others. And then, yes, Saranandi was first there, but then I think I talked with Gadadhar and they talked, and Saranandi became a long-term servant or a secretary, very grateful to the many services she did. And then later Bhanunandini came, to whom I'm also extremely grateful. You can't imagine what it is to be a secretary. Most probably it's the hardest thing. Also Gaur Krishna, they really need to carry a lot. I think many of you would break when you only hear what they have to do in service. And so I grew out of the Krishna brief. Krishna brief means in English Krishna letter, that little thing, photocopied thing which I wrote for my disciples. I grew out and now I'm on Instagram and YouTube and what else? Facebook, and I'm not so good in all these things, you know. So, but the mission is the same. I still feel, out of the many ways I could serve as a spiritual master, a fatherly figure, a protector of an institution, a founder of an ashram, out of the many different roles which the guru plays traditionally, in the role I feel mostly attracted to and mostly at home is to be an inspirer, or you could say a teacher, or you could say an educator. And I'm still thinking, well, how can I pump life into these devotees so that when I meet them, I don't need to look into a morose face, but into a highly inspired face. That is still my prayer, my inspiration. And yes, the different forms may change, you know. Sometimes it's the Krishna letter in the old times, and or handwritten letters. Now it's the more modern forms of communication, but the person behind it and the intention behind it is still the same. Yes, and that is Prabhupada's mercy. It is by mercy that we can hold on to good motives. It's by mercy that we can hold on to the idea, let my life be service, a life of service. It's by mercy that we can continue to think, let me also walk my talk, let me be a real devotee who can teach by example and also by experiences in Krishna consciousness. It shouldn't just be words or concepts, it should be an experienced reality. Good. So Narayani and Raghavindas said, I must have thought a lot about what I would say. Today I want to say two things to you. First, a traditional speech, this comes now, and then in the evening I want to tell you about my life and what I have learned in my life that I can, hand over to all of you. So, I thought today to do something which I'm really very inspired to. See, in the old times, I was part of an effort. It was called the Hare Krishna Festival. We would go with our leader in Germany. His name was Hansa Dutta. He has left his body. He's due to old age. And we would go to different towns and do a Hare Krishna Festival. That means we would sing in the streets of the town, distribute leaflets and invite everyone, come, let us celebrate in the town hall. Already at that time we had somehow big audiences, and Srila Prabhupada heard about it. We must have sent him also photos of the groups of the people who were inspired to chant during these festivals. There was a lecture. It was simple. Chanting, lecture, and prasadam. These three things we would do. Nothing else, but we were very enthusiastic about it. And yeah. Prabhupada became inspired. He liked to hear about how Krishna consciousness was spreading through book distribution. He said, I live on these news. And he also was inspired by our Hare Krishna festivals. And then one day we decided, but Prabhupada, if you're so inspired, it would be so nice if you would actually come to our festivals and you would do the kirtans and you would do the preaching. We are not so pure. The effect will be greater. And we never thought Srila Prabhupada would come to our invitation because he was very busy leading the movement, and we were doing it. You know, he always said, you do as I am doing, and then, you know, he delegated them. So we did not think that he would come personally, but then we got a letter. He actually was in London, and he would come by Scandinavian Airlines or something. He would come to Stockholm and he would give three programs where he would sing and he would do the lecture. Wow! We were both highly excited and nervous. You know, when you love someone and you you invite him to see what you are doing, you want to make sure that you are doing everything fine. So during that program in Stockholm, which I remember, we went the whole day early in the morning with kirtan through the town. And there was Maria, the Christian preacher, who would, whenever we would come up, she would turn up her little thing. She had a what is it called? Synthesizer, and she would sing Hallelujah, Hallelujah, and Reine Feste, Ruhig ist unser Gott in Swedish, and all the Christian songs which I all knew. I could sing along with her, not in Swedish, but But when we would come up, she would say, "These are the yellow devils." Hare Krishna. And people would laugh about it. No, they're so nice. They sing and dance, you know, and they smile and they give prasadam to us. You are in the category. The devil has entered your mind, you know, by making you so judgmental. Anyway, so I remember this, and we were always feeling, hopefully Maria is not coming to the program. We loved her. She was, in her own ways, she was convinced also. But yes, we feared her also. She didn't come. But many, many, many people came to listen to Prabhupada. He thanked us afterwards. He was so grateful. And he gave a lecture about the spiritual master in that public program. A beautiful lecture where he explained really why it is good to have a spiritual master. So I will give you some highlights from the lecture and my own reflections, and then I will surprise you. And after the lecture, he sang, he did also the singing, but he didn't sing Hare Krishna, he sang another song, and you will hear the song which he sang. We have it on, if everything works, on loudspeaker. So before I start, let me ask you, Nityananda, put the volume up. Am I audible? Can everyone hear me nicely?
Yes.
Good. Thank you, Nityananda. This is an achievement, certainly. So let us, because we are a little late, let us just quickly offer our... No, I can't do this any longer. Remember yesterday? I will have to think about my relationship to the Rakhi. So we will do for now without. Please join me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prasadine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachade Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Govata Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
One more time, Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada talked about the spiritual master, and all of us bridge preachers thought, whoa, he's really going right into the depths of our philosophy. He's not, you know, wasting any time with small talk. He really goes to the subject. He said, Brahmanda Brahmiti Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lata Beach. He said, we all living entities transmigrate from one form of life to the next. Sometimes we are in the lower forms as ants, and sometimes the highest development forms. And then he said, but I'm quoting, the guru can help you to transmigrate from this planet directly to the spiritual sky. Wow, that's really some sentence where you say, the guru can help you to transmigrate directly from this planet to the spiritual sky. Srila Prabhupada would often talk from a total different level than the daily news of this world. He would surprise all of us by saying, so, well, now something profound came when he went, so then, we know, sit straight. So, this movement, this Krishna consciousness movement is the movement of the living entity. Let that sink a little. It's the movement of the living entity, means the movement for the soul. So he would also talk like this. He said, you take birds, live for some time, then you have to give up the body, then you accept another, you live again for some time, then give up. Samsara, forest fire. And then he gave the famous analogy of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who spoke about this world on the basis of the Bhagavatam as one big forest in which all the living entities are assembled together. But in this forest, there is constantly or often a forest fire breaking out, miseries that come. You may live in these northern countries, but even when I was frequently in Serbia and Croatia, I saw often something which I had not seen before. Forest fires came up suddenly, and some of them were very different, difficult to control. Do you remember a terrible forest fire which happened a little while ago? Australia, yes, someone says Australia, where the human population was threatened, they had to evacuate. So he said, no one wants to be unhappy in this world, but suddenly one is forced to suffer. It's like the outbreak of fire in the forest. And then he gave examples of the miseries. He gave first international examples or country examples which relate to countries who suffer. There are wars. There was the Second World War between nations. There are wars between man to man, neighbor to neighbor, husband and wife. Well, many wars. I am aware. I live in a community and we hear the father and son. The war is going on. The guru can deliver us. How? And then Prabhupada's voice, I still remember, became a little emotional. He was now talking about how he can stop the fire of material misery. He said, the spiritual master brings mercy from? Yes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not his own. When there is a forest fire, will your little bucket of water help? Will the fire brigade help? Do you remember? Have you seen all the Australian bushfires?
Yes.
Yes, no, middle. I saw Instagram or YouTube or, you know. Will your little bucket help? No, the guru has no own mercy. He carries the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, you know, some of you who do not read regularly the books will misunderstand. Oh, does this mean the guru doesn't love us? He has no own mercy. He loves you, but what he brings is more than what is his coming from his own. No, he's more than something comes through him. He grabs some electrical wire and then it comes through. And then Prabhupada said, because perhaps his audience were not getting the point, he was driving it. He said, everyone has got anxieties. That is the proof of material existence. Everyone, even the little bird or Mahatma Gandhi, have anxieties. Then he talked, if you give a grains to the little bird, he will look left and right. Is someone coming to harm me? So if you want to be anxious, now everyone here is in the blazing, has the blazing fire within the heart. You may say, where's the fire? I don't see fire. Yes, I saw the bushfires in Australia and in Croatia. But I understand Prabhupada talks about a different type of fire. Here he makes it now very clear. Everyone has this blazing fire within the heart. The material disease of anxiety is there. If you want to be anxiety-less, then you must take shelter of the instruction of the Guru. Then you will be anxiety-less. This is the test. You need to test your relationship. Is it working? Has the fire in your heart become less? Is the fire going down? If not, there must be something wrong either in your guru or in you. So I always say, you must, these should not be philosophical words. You should come to the plane of no anxieties. And the way Prabhupada explains it here, this happens when you follow the guru, the instructions of the spiritual master. My dear devotees, I'm now talking to you as a 40-year-old person in a 70-year-old body. There are many experiences, you know. I've stopped counting. I'm doing this now since more than 50 years. My experiences in Krishna consciousness are more than the experiences before Krishna consciousness. And I want to tell you one thing I have learned. If I connect my life with spiritual instructions which come to me through Srila Prabhupada and the line of the parampara or sampradaya I'm practicing in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, I begin to feel anxiety less. And I must tell you very honestly, do I need to say it, what I really do not wish to say. Please be kind to me on this day, who have children. I can really say to you as an experienced fact, I'm very happy in my life. More than happy. I wouldn't call it happiness. Happiness is, you will see in my new book, I'm having something on what is really the experience of spiritual life. It's more contentment. When you make your life dependent on happiness, you are setting yourself up for misery. Because happiness will always turn by the laws of nature in its opposite. Have you heard that we are living in a dual world? One thing can't exist alone. It always has to turn in its opposite. The day which we will have will turn into night. If you are after happiness, you are really, you will experience distress. Don't strive for happiness, I can only tell you. These momentary moments that come when the senses are agitated. Try for something that is much higher, much more brilliant, much more permanent than happiness. It's in Sanskrit santosh, or contentment. Contentment is there when you are satisfied in yourself, you know, and you can always be in yourself. So I never thought I would ever become, yes, and if I talk in ordinary language, I would say I'm a happy old man, but what I mean is I'm content. I never thought it's possible for me because I'm a little bit sensitive by nature, and it's easy to that things get on my nerves. I'm not a stoic person, you would say, by nature. But it has stopped. I'm no longer. I even have learned to overcome FOMO. What is FOMO? That is what many of you suffer from. The fear of missing out, you know. The fear of missing an opportunity. So yes, but of course I'm still in the body and the mind, and as long as you're in the body of the mind, you will have to go to the dentist one day, most probably. I'm trying to avoid it, but. So this is my experience. If you want to be anxiety-less in this world, which is called Kuntaloka, the world of anxiety. Vaikuntha is the spiritual world, but if you want, then you must take shelter of the instruction of the Guru. And then Prabhupada sings. I can't sing so nice as our Smita Krishna. What do you sing? What do you sing? The same melody? Please play. Samsara Dhamana Talida Loka Tranaya Karunya Gana Gana Tvam
Samsara
Kalyana Gunanavasya Vande Guru Shri Saranaravinda
Vatasya Kalyana Gunanavasya Vande Guru Shri Saranaravinda
to this, and this verse, of course, says that in this world of samsara, this world of repeated birth and death, there's the forest fire. And this forest fire is, this is the forest fire of anxiety, which burns where? In the heart, yes. And that brings out all these external manifestations of quarreling about amongst people, your son to son, nation to nation, and one Hare Krishna member with another Hare Krishna member. It's not out when you move. The forest fire is only, it's not out by moving into an institution. It happens only, as this verse says, when you take shelter, Charanaravindam, under the lotus feet of the spiritual master, and then the rain cloud will come of Krishna's mercy and drench out these anxieties. No? So Prabhupada, then now I will have summarized for now. Now you will hear him directly. Don't make a cheap guru or a fashion guru, just like you keep sometimes a dog as a fashion. Similarly, if you want to keep a dog, if you want to keep a guru as a fashion, I have got a guru. That will not help you. You must accept a guru who can extinguish the blazing fire of anxiety within your heart. That is the first test of a guru. My dear disciples, are you following the teachings of our Sampradaya, of our line of spiritual master? Or do you still have FOMO? I see many of you who have FOMO. I watch you very carefully, and I pray for you, because I have to pray for you every day. I need to understand you. What are your challenges? Sometimes see that you like to bypass your challenges and don't face them. And so, but if you can understand, here is a vast body of knowledge. It's not Sachinandan Swami's thing. He is a very ordinary person. Like Prabhupada said of himself, he said, I'm not a bona fide person. No Vaishnava will claim that. But what Vaishnavas will say, he is a very bona fide person, Prabhupada, very bona fide Guru Parampara, very ancient, very bona fide Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. If you follow all this, no anxiety. Yeah. Then he goes through the whole Guru Ashtakam, and he says the Guru sings and dances himself, and he teaches his disciples to sing and dance. He does deity worship himself, and he tells his disciples to do this. He does prasadam distribution in the Hari Bhakta Sangha, in the Association of Devotees. And I brought today for you Mahaprasad from Jagannath. I mean, it was sent to me by Rukmini Chandika. That's the sister of one of our MCs, of Ram Govinda. You will get it when you exit the temple. I heard you will not take any material birth again. Of course, if you want, the Lord will not spoil your desires, you know. He always thinks about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and he wants to share them with the devotees, you know. Krishna's pastimes with the Sakas, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, all the various pastimes of the Lord. And he wants ultimately to help his disciples to think, this is again from this lecture, 24 hours a day on Krishna. I will end here.
Should I? Would you like to hear just a little of Prabhupada's personal, how he expresses?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. Here. Niko niayuno ratike lisidai ya yalibir apekshaniya. Remember, he's talking in Stockholm, and we fear any moment Maria could come in and take her sound equipment and sing hallelujah, you know. But to disturb, not to, I mean, we would sing along with her, no problem. So he says, the ultimate goal of the spiritual master is that he wants to be transferred to the planet of Krishna, where he wants to associate with the gopis to help them serve Krishna. Some of the devotees, spiritual master, they are thinking of becoming assistant to the gopis. Some of them are thinking to be assistant to the cowherd boys. Some of them are thinking to be assistant to Mother Yashoda or Nanda. And some of them are thinking to the servants of God. I don't understand this. Or some of them are thinking how to become a flower, a tree, a fruit tree, or a calf, or a cow in Vrindavan. Now, this is a Stockholm audience, you know. Prabhupada, wonderful. He's a spiritual person, yes. They are in the spiritual land. Now he wants that everyone becomes enthusiastic in the audience. The land is spiritual. The tree is spiritual. The fruit is spiritual. The flower is spiritual. The water is spiritual. The servant is spiritual. The friend is spiritual. The mother is spiritual. The father is spiritual. The Lord is spiritual. And his associates are spiritual. Everything. Therefore, oneness. I'm reading from his lecture. Absolute truth, everything absolute. Although there are varieties, these, and then he goes on and on and on. He says that everything is spiritual in that sense, one, and there are varieties in that oneness, so that rasa, the rasa of service can flow. No? So one and different, and just so that you understand. Then he says, so there are instructions, and the instructions, the main thing is you simply try to love. The process is that you worship the deity, you take the prasadam, you chant the holy name, you follow the instructions of the spiritual master. In this way, you will be trained up to understand Krishna. And then your life is successful. This is the Krishna conscious movement. Coming back to his first sentence, so Guru can help you to transmigrate from this planet directly to the spiritual sky. In philosophy, you would call that transcendentalism, no? That there is a reality beyond what our senses can see. This is the bona fide spiritual process to bring us, in Prabhupada's words, to our constitutional position, to have us wake up, jiv jago, from the dream of material life, which is for some of us a nightmare, at least at times, at some times, when the anxieties are more feelable. After this, I'm looking, yes. After this, we thought, I still remember, because Prabhupada had taken a long time. I've given you a summary of the summary of the summary here. He really went into it. He was so happy to preach to a huge crowd. The next day, he talked, he saw that there were many drunken people. And just see his good heart. He said, And the drunken people were all lying. It was like 50 people who lived on welfare. They were lying on the floor and against the wall. Then Prabhupada wanted to also bring them to Krishna consciousness. He said, even if you are a drunkard, you can become a great yogi by thinking of Krishna. Next time you drink your wine, you think the taste of the wine, that is Krishna. This is, so Prabhupada was of course thinking, that's how it all starts. You start to think one time of Krishna, no? I still remember, wow, Prabhupada is really broad-minded here and very open. He includes everyone into this. I understood for us there are other rules, you know, than for the Venus of Stockholm. Yes, but then on this day he chanted a beautiful song about the spiritual world. Please hear his voice.
Kalpavriksha lakshapriteshu surabhira vipalayantam Lakshmi sahasatata sammamase pamanam Govindam Adiparsham Tamaham Ajami. Chintamani Prakara Sarmatu Kalpa Kanakta.
I still This is another soundtrack. I don't think it comes from the Stockholm program because the recording is very nice. It's a simple musical accompanying, but the recording is very clear. But he sang like that. It was really simple, and he wouldn't stop singing. And we were there, you know, the organizers of a program. But what we understood at that moment, our spiritual master was seeing what he was singing about. He himself was absorbed. He saw the reality. He felt the reality of the spiritual world. And he was not there to make a show. To get likes on Instagram, although at that moment he wanted to show his disciples, this is real and you need to give this to the fallen souls. You need to help them to become free from anxiety so that they can become happy if you like simple words. You like to go more into what it really is, content, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So, yes, and this is the mission which I have to try my best. But oh, I have such a wonderful master, and I'm very happy to, on this day, to be, I'm not alone, I'm held. I feel not just by the hands of the Lord, but as long as I follow the instructions, I'm held by His hands, and that feels very nice. It feels anxiety-less. So, this was my talk, and now I will challenge you. I will challenge your intelligentsia, which may be still a little bit dormant. Fasten your seatbells. I like to do this very much. This year there will be no foot washing ceremony. And I would like you to understand something. Why do we have a foot washing ceremony? What is behind this? What is the spirit behind a ritual? If you do not understand the spirit of a ritual, you will have only a little benefit. You will be a ritualistic person. When you understand the spirit, what is behind it, then the ritual has life. I sometimes tell to my disciples, please don't give me, today is traditional part, that's very good, but please give me not garlands, because I can't, you know, these flowers are such wonderful creations. Better give them, I can put them in the vase, put the vase before Radha Kanhaiya Lal or the deities, and then the benefit will be much, much bigger. The idea of foot washing is expressed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then you will see what I'm getting at. Bhakta pada duliara bhakta pada jala bhakta bhukta avashesha tina mahabala. The dust of the feet of a devotee, the water that has washed the feet of a devotee, and the remnants of food left by a devotee are three very powerful substances. Acha, we hear not only the water, but there are two other items which have the same potency. What was it? Dust and remnants of food. By rendering, then it says, Etina seva hoite Krishna premahaya puna puna sarva shastre pukari apkaya. By rendering service to these three, one can attain the supreme goal of ecstatic love for Krishna. In all the revealed scriptures, this is loudly declared again and again. But I think foot washing in at least I feel so uncomfortable in this. Foot. I'm an ordinary person. But yes, if we have a nice birthday cake, then I could. That's my birthday cake, so I have the right to eat a little from it. And then you can eat the birthday cake, and the benefit is the same. No? We need to, in modern times, to stay relevant, see which rituals are appropriate according to time, place, and circumstances, and which rituals. First of all, we need to understand the rituals. Prabhupada tells a story that there was once a priest who did fire yagyas, and unfortunately the cat of the ashram would always disturb, and it would be very attached to the priest, it would be around, and the ghee pot would fall over, and so on. The priest put a little cage over the cat, you know, where the cat could see through, you know, one of these baskets, you've seen it. And the cat would be very happy, it would stay there and look, and understood this, that I have to stay here in this basket, for I can't get out any longer. When he died, the ashram, the cat was long dead, the ashram got a basket and put a cat there. When that generation died, the next generation thought, there has to be always a cat in a basket next to the fire. Meaningless rituals. There was a reason at one time to do it like this. Now there was not the reason any longer. Prabhupada talks about, he gives another example, but I don't remember exactly. It was about Brahmanas taking bath at the Ganga and putting their things in a vase. Anyway, so my dear devotees, Krishna consciousness is not a ritual. It is not, it is much more. You need to understand the spirit. Yes, that is very important. Some of our devotees now go the opposite way. They say, I never will wear a dhoti again. Perhaps it's also, there's also a reason that the belly has significantly increased over the years, and it might slip due to the intense volume of the belly. Maybe. You never know nowadays. One reason is given, but another is behind it. I can't say. Why be so drastic? Why not understand the spirit of these things? The spirit is, we go into a sacred room, we want to be, you know, and we wear fresh clothes for this, we wear clothes that are more, you know, that are not so modern, that are timeless around us, and we are that. By the way, I'm not here to make a point about clothes, really not. It's much more than that. Wear what you like. I said why I wear it, why I think, but it's not an absolute point. It is a thing. My point here is try to understand the spirit behind something and save the spirit, keep it alive. And see where the expression in which the spirit is lived is appropriate and where there are more appropriate ways, perhaps. No? But the spirit must be kept alive always. And I feel when we have now, I think there will be a birthday cake, I don't know. I don't know what you have prepared, but when we will do the same thing that is eating, you know, being in contact with the devotee in a kind of close way, and we will do the same thing in a way that is, at least for me, I feel it is more appropriate. And because today is my birthday feast, I can also have a birthday wish. Hare Krishna. Interesting point to think about, isn't it? If you want to look at the verse, it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, chapter 16, verse 60. There you will find the amazing story of someone who was just crazy after the remnants of food of devotees. He and Lord Chaitanya was so pleased about his desire to have the remnants. Do you remember his good name? Kala Krishna Das. Very extraordinary. He was the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, amazing Vaishnava. Good. Thank you very much, and Hare Krishna. And now I'm very interested to see what you have all planned. Hare Krishna.